Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ramble React Sevilla. I've only gone and done it again. It's Thursday, 1st of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Well, 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 everybody. As sure as night follows day, Sevilla, Europa League champions, once again, they've gone and done it. They drew 1-1 on the night, and then 4-1 on penalties was the final score. So they hammered them on I can't believe Jose Mourinho's lost a European final, Jim.
Yeah, but, you know, we could be saying, I can't believe Sevilla have lost a European final in the opposite reality in which when it went that way. You know, sooner or later, something had to give. And it was one of those cases where, despite that shock, you absolutely could write it.
Yeah,
this game was exactly what I expected, especially when I think what was the 11th booking of the game, just for players on the pitch, happened in the 10th minute of added time in extra time when only 6 minutes had been called. I mean, it was just magnificent. It was it was everything you could want, other than like a good game of football, because it was particularly good to watch. But I wasn't really there for that.
Mm. There was a moment during the action in the second half where commentator Ian Dark described it as a festival of gamesmanship.
There's been a lot of hand-wringing, isn't there, about, oh, we don't want to see this, that old cliche, that thing about setting an example. It's like, nah, come on. Enjoy
was
it.
A proper battle as well. I think, Andy, you mentioned before the game, as few people did, that this Sevilla side, a bit more canny and tough, and grittier than maybe others thought. But they always say it's their competition. Yes, literally not even Jose Mourinho can argue with that now, quite incredibly. But they've done it. I mean, Real Madrid and the European Cup / Champions League is comparable. That's really the only trophy, the only team and the only trophy I can think of, maybe. I mean, it is... utterly remarkable, the Sevilla's history in this competition.
So my maths is rubbish, but I make it 7 in 17 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
it's all in the 21st century.
Extraordinary. And we're talking about a club with... I know it's all skewed with the Premier League being as it is these days, but with every club in the Premier League's got a bigger budget than Sevilla.
You love the budget chat, Andy.
I definitely love the budget chat when it comes to the Europa League.
Yeah.
I'll love it even more when it comes to the Europa Conference League final.
Don't
start. But it's just extraordinary. And after such a rubbish season for them domestically, I think it's funny because you look at this Sevilla side and you look at this Roma side, these are not vintage Roma or Sevilla sides by any stretch of the imagination. But when you talk about winning DNA, I mean, you do look at Ocampos, you do look at Jesus Navas and Ivan Rakitic, don't you?
And it's interesting that Jose Luis Mendilibar, he took over at the end of March, of course, never won a major trophy or a major tournament before. And again, he takes it's a bit like what we've been saying with Aston Villa. Start celebrating now, lads. You know, Unai Emery's going to win you a European trophy. And Mendilibar's thinking, if I can get the Sevilla job, then I'll guarantee that Europa League a gold medal. And he's gone and bloody well done it. It is quite something. I mean, Ivan Rakitic, Jim, at one point during the game, you just sent a message to the group just saying, what a man.
Yeah, oh, I love Ivan Rakitic, and it's nice to see him get his hands on this trophy. Fernando's there.
Where did he
pop up? I completely missed that. Some great stuff like that. I believe this was Mendilibar's sixth European game as well. Going back to your point there about Sevilla, which is fifth, and he's showing us a hand saying five.
Is that the amount of European trophies that Mourinho's won, Andy? Was it a dig?
Well, it remains that, doesn't it? I think, you know, my maths isn't great either, but like, are they going to win 70 of the next 100 of these? How long is this going to go on for?
So, are you saying Sevilla are going to stop global warming having its full effect because they've got to continue winning 7 out of 10 Europa Leagues until the end of time?
Well, actually, isn't Sevilla the hottest city in Europe? So I think, if anything, they're being powered by it, and this might be bad news.
Yeah. It is sensational. I mean, I felt a little bit sad for Mourinho at the end. Of the game, we saw him throw his runners-up medal to a fan in the crowd who looked delighted, to be fair.
Jose will be in the press tomorrow just talking about what a loser that guy is for having that sort of mentality.
No. That fan is going to grow up and manage Chelsea one day. Like, he'll carry on his legacy or something. But I to see Mourinho walk off, there's obviously been speculation about his future, and Mourinho himself talked about that, and he said, my future, I will go on a holiday on Monday, we will speak. I told the owners that I'll let them know first in case I will open talks with another club. I told the club when Portugal came and called for me in December, but as of now, no other clubs have called me. So that's basically, if I get a better offer, I'm off.
If you are the president of Roma, you will have a very short resignation note on a post-it note on your desk in the morning. I think is possibly it. I don't see really how he can go on from here. I mean, if we talked about, you were talking earlier about the unstoppable force and the immovable object. Roma needed this a lot more than Sevilla.
I agree with you. They
really did in every way. They needed the Champions League qualification. Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, because they missed it up against Fiorentina on the weekend.
It's tricky, really, because the whole the way everything has changed with Juventus losing their points, then getting them back, then losing them again. I think Mourinho has a lot of unjustified complaints, as we saw throughout the final from him and his staff. But I think a justified one is, well, I would have picked a different team if I thought we were still in the Champions League race for some of it. You know, he rested a lot of players. They haven't got the strongest squad, it's fair to say. And they had a shit ton of injuries. So, you know, that might have affected the way a couple of draws that they might have gone to win. I know people will have watched that final and gone, well, how often do they actually go out to try and win a game? Which I think is a justifiable question in the circumstances. But it's one area where I do have a little bit of sympathy for him.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is they were still in contention for Champions League football until the weekend, whereas Sevilla, of course, they, you know, pretty mid-table. I mean, they were looking over their shoulder in relegation not that long ago in La Liga, of course. Going back to the game itself, according to Opta, there were 13 yellow cards awarded in the game, 6 for Sevilla, 7 for Roma, the most ever in a Europa League game, which is superb. Roma's 7 was the most for any side in a final in the competition. It's again, Jim, is that just... we expected all this sort of stuff, yeah, and it really did deliver.
Is that just the players, or does that include staff on the bench? Because there were a lot of bookings that way as well.
Yeah, at some point, I mean, Anthony Taylor.
He had a great game.
Did anybody on planet Earth work harder than him last night to earn his money?
No, it was so busy. So busy. Babysitting, firefighting, all of it. Yeah, I think he did well. And actually, you know what? I'm not sure this would have been Taylor's call, actually. It probably wasn't. But to call encroachment in a penalty shootout, I don't think I've ever seen that before. And it's really dramatic, and I'm sure Jose Mourinho is going to have a lot to say about it. But it is the right call. You know, that is the rule. It's never enforced, and it gives people a big advantage in shootouts that are often decisive. And that was absolutely huge. I mean, we talk about referees a lot, very critical of them a lot, very critical of the way they implement technology a lot. They got that one really, really right, and they were strong, and they were decisive in it. And I think it deserves praise.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those ones that if you go back 3 years even, it just would have been let go. Because he wasn't a mile off his line. He was like half a foot off his line. Yeah. And if you go back to the 2014 final where Sevilla beat Benfica on pens, and a team that's properly cursed, by the way, in European competition, Beto, who was keeping goal for Sevilla, he saved two of the penalties, and he was... Basically, the penalty taker's shirt.
I remember
shirt
that.
When he
it,
saved
was,
them.
It was outrageous, yeah. Andy, is what yeah. it was.
And so this really is Sevilla's competition.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think the general consensus in our group was that we fancied Sevilla on penalties, of course. And as you mentioned, Jim, that winning penalty, incredible for Gonzalo Montiel to step up and take it. Because obviously, of course, scored the winning penalty in the World Cup final. And that is what it took to finally beat Mourinho in a final. The guy who took the last kick of the World Cup to finish him off. And
with his second go.
With his second go, indeed. Yeah, not the most convincing of penalties, I suppose, but he gave the eyes and they bloody well won it. But, I mean, when Dybala scored in the first half for Roma, I really thought, Sevilla. And then Rakitic hits the post at the end of the half, of course. And I thought we really could do with an equaliser to make the game a bit more interesting. I thought it was going to play out like the Europa Conference League final last year when they beat Feyenoord 1-0. And, of course, an own goal scored by Mancini. But then, really, Andy, you'd say Roma had the better chances. I mean, Sevilla had much more of the ball and the dynamic of the game, I suppose, played out as we thought it would. A couple of chances there. Abraham went close, and then Belotti had a chance as well.
Belotti took his chance like a man who never scores anymore. Unfortunately, I think that's the shame. And of course, Chris Smalling hit the crossbar right at the end. And what an ending that would have been. I think that's the funny thing. If you go back, I'm not sure Mourinho or Roma would do anything different. I mean, ideally, they would have a Dybala that could play the full game, but that was never an option. Obviously, he was slightly bullshitting about how fit Dybala actually was, because if he was as fit as he said he was, there's no way you start him. But it always seemed like the idea was they would keep it tight, bring him on for the last 20, 30, like they did in the quarterfinal against Feyenoord, and that's what they would do. But even though Dybala couldn't really run, He was incredibly influential. I thought they defended really well, even though they didn't have the ball, which we knew they wouldn't. They created the better chances. I thought Sevilla had that little bit of energy at the start of the second half. The subs were good because and they knew that Suso and Lamela would be handy for them because they were the players that turned the semi-final. But it was weird to me how they gave Sevilla that extra little burst of energy. And then after they'd equalised, they were like, oh, right, well, we've climbed that mountain. and then they seem to stop. I think it's when we look at these two teams, there's not a lot of explosiveness in either of them, really, especially when you haven't got a fully fit Dybala. I mean, Suso was the closest that they had, Sevilla. I thought he was very, very good for the second half and then baked by the second end of extra time, really.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think with the aforementioned Andrea Belotti, I should say it was a slightly difficult one to take, but yeah, as the commentator says, he's not been among the goals this season. But he had to take off Dybala due to fitness issues. He took off Tammy Abraham. And Jim, you mentioned it before that actually that could have been crucial when it comes to the penalty shootout, which,
yeah,
you know, Dybala would have taken one, but unlikely he would have stayed on the pitch that long. And so they had some players there who perhaps not as confident as you might think. I mean, Belotti himself didn't take one. He took one in the Euros final against England.
That is interesting, isn't it?
And missed. And I thought, okay. But it proved to be, you know, too much for Roma when it came to that penalty shootout because it was pretty decisive, you know, 4-1.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I suppose it's easy to project this as being a kind of Mourinho master plan onto this result, isn't it? And look at that as if he's played for penalties for definite. But actually, getting to penalties very, very, you know, sure in the knowledge that you're very likely going to be without Dybala and Abraham in particular in that scenario makes you think maybe they wouldn't fancy it. Maybe they were trying to nick it. Maybe the Chris Smalling moment was supposed to be the moment for Mourinho, and he has lost that tiny bit of magic that got him over the line in the past.
Jim, you're 100% right, because they don't take off Pellegrini if they're playing for penalties. Pellegrini's the first choice penalty taker.
Yeah.
I think really we can talk about fate. We can talk about it being Sevilla's competition. The reason Sevilla won is because they had the better penalty takers left on the pitch.
Yeah.
All their penalty takers are good penalty takers. That you knew exactly what they were going to do, and they all looked like they were going to score.
I
think you looked at the first penalty, which sets the tone. But Ocampos, his tell is every time no look penalty.
Yeah,
and even though he does it all the time, do you remember when Sergio Ramos went through that spell of every penalty was a Panenka?
Yeah,
and you're like, you can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
But Ocampos keeps doing the no look pen. It's outrageous. In a final,
the confidence he had, it was sensational. Quite frankly,
yeah.
As you say, that set the tone. And it, I think now, because we know that statistically, if you take the first penalty in a penalty shootout, you have an advantage. I don't know if it's just me, but every penalty shootout now, the team who seems to kick first win it. I don't know whether that's in the players' minds as well. You know, you hear a stat like that. I think when the stat came out a few years ago, it was 60% of teams who take the first kick in penalty shootouts would win. Now, if I'm aware of that, professional footballers are going to be aware of that.
Course.
So if you lose the toss, does that now, has that increased the percentages, if you see what I mean? Because suddenly it's like, oh, crap, we're kind of up against it. So I don't know, but it's such fine margins, isn't it? And
it's a lottery. Sevilla. Is that what you're saying?
I wasn't going to say a lottery, as Ocampos would certainly have me up against the wall if I suggested
it. It was Wednesday night. I mean, you know.
It was. True enough.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I mean, Sevilla, next season, Andy, they'll be in the Champions League. I think BT Sports, Don Hutchinson or Gazika Mendieta made the joke that they'll then drop down into the Europa League after going out at a certain time of the competition and then probably win it again. But how do you see them? What does Sevilla do next season? They've not got a huge amount of money, but, you know, in the Champions League, you would imagine they're spending a bit more and will... Mendilibar still be around?
I think those are two really good questions. I don't think they can really throw the bag at it. It's not the way they do things.
No.
And this season can't be glossed over. This season has been a bit of a mess. You know, if you bear in mind, 14, 15 months ago, they were going for the league. And then they spent a lot on Anthony Martial's wages. He never scored a goal for them and it went all horrendously wrong. They got through two good coaches this season in Lopetegui and Sampaoli, which tells you that there's something else wrong at the club and it's not just the coach. Whether they give Mendilibar the full season, I think they probably should, because I think they'll probably have quite modest ambitions. I think they'll want to trouser the Champions League group money. I don't think they'll have any great ambitions in it. Like, not that they're aiming for third, but the only reason that you think they might get more than third in the Champions League group is because, remember, if you win the Europa League, you're a top seed. So they avoid Bayern, City, Benfica, whoever
else.
You know, it makes an absolutely massive difference. So, look, you're absolutely right, Marcus. They've got a massive squad reconstruction to do because it is a bit of an old squad and not that good a one. And they haven't got an enormous amount of money to do it. So I think you're looking at a probably consolidation sort of season with Champions League money as a bonus next
year. Yeah, fair enough. What about Mr. Mourinho, Jim? What next for him? Because we think he's going to go. Could we see him back at a Champions League club next season, do you think?
Well, one of the interesting things about Jose Mourinho is how he sort of sometimes has a job lined up before he's left his current post, doesn't he? That was the case when he was at Inter before he went to Real Madrid, which is a funny way of doing things in a lot of ways. And there's been a lot of speculation. It looks to me like he is going to leave Roma, as Andy touched on earlier, particularly now. You think, what is there still there for him and for them next season? Do you think the talk of PSG is so unrealistic? One last big swing at the top table?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame for Mourinho because, like you say, with Inter, the way he kind of rode off into the sunset there, it was utterly glorious, of course. A treble, Champions League, so it was beautiful. Similar with Porto, of course, with that Champions League win. This is how it was meant to end with Roma. It was meant to end with him winning this trophy, the Europa League, and going,
getting another
there
tattoo.
You go. Get another tattoo. And Mourinho would say, not only have you now got one European trophy in your cabinet, now you've got two, I've doubled it. And it hasn't quite worked out.
Yeah.
So perhaps, Andy, would he leave the door open or to staying at Roma because of slightly unfinished business? It would seem odd if he was to go and suddenly make the Europa League victory his quest, if you like. But
I think it can't be done.
Right.
I agree with Jim. I think it can't be done because the money's not there. They really needed the money from the Champions League. They've got very little room for manoeuvre. And that doesn't suit him. You know, he's done his best with this squad. I mean, the feeling he's created at Roma, I think, is very special.
Yeah.
You know, they sold out 26 successive home games. And that's not to mention a sold-out Olimpico last night to watch a game on a telly screen with a load of other fans. So I think it will be remembered by the fans of Roma as something special. But they need a different sort of coach to get them through the next bit. Mm-hmm. He needs a different sort of club to, as Jim says, have another pop at elite level, which I don't know. It's funny because he left England as really a busted flush. But the fact that he's got himself to a point now where Real Madrid and PSG aren't saying, get the hell out. Mm. And they're even giving it some headspace.
Exactly.
I think
Real
Madrid is really particular. It's really particular. I don't think it's to be ruled out. I don't think it's to be ruled out
that
at all.
That would be something.
All I'm saying, Marcus, let's give Poison a chance.
Maybe we'll be back at the bridge for a third time. Like that fella wanted.
In October. You know.
If he went back to Real Madrid, my goodness, that would be like Harold Bishop returning to Neighbours.
But it would be extraordinary, wouldn't it? That if he could kind of re-establish a seat at the top table like that. And as Andy said, that, you know, that there's been talk of it that hasn't been laughed. There was a sense that he was sort of circling the drain, kind of gradually accepting jobs at clubs that were, you know, perhaps just outside the Champions League, etc., etc. And Roma is certainly on that. If he were to then, you know, get back up a rung again, it would be fascinating because we thought we were rid of him. And he might even be worse the second time around.
But you say rid of him as if, like, we want him to go. Like, he's still got that entertainment value.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Jim, I think that was your best ever low-key, below-the-belt Tottenham gag.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are. There you are. But I think with Mourinho, I think that for a little while, I remember saying on the ramble that he needs to go to that slight sort of Europa League level kind of club. Yeah. I think I may have even mentioned Roma, but a sort of a Valencia or well, Sevilla wouldn't have him, obviously, but you know, that kind of level. And he would be loved there. And of course, he has been loved at Roma. You know, he won them their first trophy for a while, their first European trophy for goodness knows how long. Well, we're counting the Fairs Cup, aren't we, Andy? You live
damn
in Newcastle
right
now.
Damn right.
No, true enough. We should count the Fairs Cup because it was the pre-runner to the UEFA Cup. I think with Mourinho, he needs to be loved. And when he turns up at a club who have not had a huge amount of success in terms of trophy wins, and he says, right, come on, let me weave my magic here. Not expected to win a league title in one of the biggest leagues in Europe and so on. I think it just fits. I think he loved it there and so on. Whereas if he was to try and have another go, which is what you're saying, Jim, about getting back in among the elites and so on, I don't think it would go well. And I think he would be particularly bitter. Which would be entertaining. So maybe
more bitter.
Yeah. Yes, Andy.
Yeah. I mean,
interesting. I mean, I think he's done his pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela, and now he deserves his weekend in Vegas. Is what we're saying.
I sort of love how, even though Jose has begun to run out of options, it would seem, because he once criticised Pep Guardiola for managing Bayern and the Bundesliga being easy. You know, he probably still feels like he can't take a job there, should it come up.
Yeah. What, at Bayern specifically, or just
no, or just Germany in general. If, say, like RB Leipzig said, we'll pay you loads of money, we'll give you a good transfer kit, he'd be like, I said that thing, though, and if I take this, I have to be wrong.
Yeah. I think that would be a nice fit, actually, RB Leipzig, because they're not very well liked in Germany. And yeah, that's the one, isn't it? That's going to happen.
That's absolutely the one. if there's going to be one, and I don't think there is, that is the one that, you know,
is,
what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, there we are, everybody. I think we should probably wrap it up now. But yeah, Sevilla, just they absolutely bloody love this tournament. Was there a slight... Do you think people might... Is there a danger, Andy? Sevilla are a very likeable side because of their budget to use one of your favourite words, and history and all the rest of it. Would people get a little bit bored of them winning, or do we just love the fact that this little club have got their hands on this particular trophy? I mean, bearing in mind, they haven't won La Liga since the mid-40s. That's what you're dealing with here.
And they're not going to in the next little while either.
No.
And both the current state of them and historical precedence tells us that. In terms of will people stop liking them? No, I don't think they will. Apart from one certain set of people, there was a brilliant bit in commentary where Gaze Kamendieta, when After, I think it was on the half-time highlights where it showed Rakitic hitting the post. He goes, and that's the closest Betis have come.
Oh, dear. Like,
did you just say that? Really?
There are some
There are some angry fans in Northumberland because there are a lot of Blythe Spartans Betis supporters because, of course, they have the same colours, green and white.
Yeah, Mendieta lives in the northeast of England as well, so he's got to be careful.
Which is good because he can't go back to Spain now.
Yes. It's probably for the best. Probably for the best. There we are, everybody. Andy, you will be back later today for another edition of On the Continent. You and Dotton will be joined by Nicky Bandini and special guest Archie Reintut to dissect an amazing day in the Bundesliga, amazing final day in the Bundesliga. Ah, bloody Dortmund. And the news that Luciano Spalletti is leaving Napoli. Then we'll be back on Friday with the preview show recorded from a very special and exciting location. So get your ears around that. But in the meantime, find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. There we are. Congratulations, Sevilla, yet again. And congratulations for next year's Europa League final win as well. Nice one, Jimmy.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Andy.
Vamos.
Lots of love. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.